Hello and welcome to the Rapid Microbiology Podcast, and I'm your host Paul Carton. Today's episode focuses on rapid automated tests for water, be it for drinking or recreation. Our guest Tim Adams from Tech to PDS is celebrating success even before the start of the Tokyo Olympics because his rapid test, the Tech to B16, has been announced as the official test to be used for open water sports events at the Olympics this summer. Hello Tim and welcome to the Rapid Microbiology Podcast.
Hi, Paul. First of all, thanks so much for having us and allowing us to share what we're doing both at the Olympics and our technology with the crowd here.
Great to have you, Tim. The open water events, these include swimming, triathlon, surfing, rowing, to name a few. And they're happening in a couple of designated marine water spots around Tokyo.
Yes.
But one spot in particular, if you don't mind me mentioning, is Odaiba Bay. And it has suffered from terrible pollution in the last decade due to unpredictable weather events, sewage treatment across the way overflowing, and it has been deemed unsafe for bathing up until the end of the last decade, and more suitable for a sewer rat, I read somewhere in the media.
Yeah.
But that was a couple of years ago, and they've put in measures to clean it up and improve the water quality. But if you have a sewage works across the bay in the world's biggest city and rising temperatures, and hurricane season as well, anything could happen in the lead up to the event. So can you tell me, Tim, why in your opinion did the Olympics organizing committee choose the Tech to PDS rapid test as the best approach for their water testing?
Well, Paul, I think that's a phenomenal segue into why I think. It's because of what you just mentioned is why they picked the Tech to. Really, it came down to three salient reasons. The first was the time to results. Particularly when there's a positive detection or it is contaminated, decisions really need to be made fast as to whether to pull athletes out of the water, particularly in conditions like you just described. The second was there was no need for a lab or lab technician to run results or to run the tests, as anyone can run a test with the Tech. It's just as easy as taking a sample and sticking it in and hitting start. And finally, the third reason was the sample to test time, as the Tech to B16 is portable and can be placed right on site as opposed to having to use a lab. So, you know, our sort of our motto is our test can be done by anyone, anytime, anywhere. I guess if you want to know the specific event which really won this for us, there was a pre-qualification triathlon event just before COVID, about 8 months before the original date of the Olympics. And during this event, ITU, the International Triathlon Union, was doing a comparison of our method, which was right on site, down by the beach in a hotel, and doing a side-by-side comparison to the lab method. Just as the event was, the triathlon was kicking off, there was a weather event that took place, a typhoon, that was becoming active way out in the ocean. And our Tech had picked up really high levels of E. coli very, very, very quickly, dangerous levels. And the event was quickly changed immediately to a duathlon. Around 30 hours later, the traditional lab method confirmed the same levels. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Tech, they might have actually run the triathlon, and there was a high chance that athletes could have gotten sick or something even worse. We were pretty lucky because at this event, both the IOC and the TOGOG being the Tokyo Organization Committee for the Olympic Games, and a few of the other event federations were there, and they immediately saw the benefit, and it was a bit of a no-brainer from there on, and here we are today.
Yeah, a third of the time quicker than the reference to traditional method, and so, you know, it's understandable that they're choosing it. It's hurricane season again this year. Typhoons are somewhat the norm there. So let me get this. Detect the B16 can automatically detect E. coli, Enterococcus, and can also give a coliform reading as well, fecal coliform reading. Can you tell me how it works and what's the average time to results?
Yeah, so for the PhDs out there, we're an enzyme substrate method. But, you know, for those of us like myself who are more layman, what we're actually doing is as we're growing the bacteria in a portable incubator, which is the B16, an enzyme express which has a fluorescent compound or a marker to it. So essentially, there's two parts to our product. There's the actual unit, the B16, and I like to always say that it's a really unremarkable piece of equipment, and I say that with pride because, you know, basically we have two units. One's a 4-chamber, one's a 16. So 16 tests simultaneously, or 4 tests. Within each chamber is an incubation. You incubate up a cartridge slotted in. And at the bottom of each of these chambers is a UV spectrometer looking for this UV marker light. And there's a bit of software involved as well. So, you know, proudly, there's not a lot that can go wrong with this unit. All of our IP is actually in our cartridge. And in the cartridge, there's our media, which is loaded up, preloaded, and sterilized. And the media really is a combination of different materials that are meant to kill everything off in the water but grow the bacteria. Mm-hmm. And then we have at the bottom of each cartridge, and this is, again, our other IP, is a polymer partition. We call it the rubber nub at the bottom. And it's designed to allow everything through except for water. So what we're doing is we're essentially taking a 100 mL sample in this cartridge, we're sticking in the tecta in one of the slots. It's incubating up. As the enzyme is expressed, this fluorescent marker, what we found is it's hydrophobic and wants to get out of the water. So it immediately goes down to this polymer, this rubber nub, which is sitting on a spectrometer, which immediately senses if there's UV light in it. And that's how we're able to determine really quickly if there's E. coli in the water or not. There's real time. So depending on contamination, we can detect as early as 2 hours. We're pretty proud of the fact that we can detect about 1 CFU in the 10-hour mark, which is almost twice as quick as every other method, approved method, which needs to have a fixed incubation time of either, you know, 18 to 24 hours before someone even does a visual interpretation and writes a report. So we're very quick, and a report is automatically sent out immediately with quants and all the information needed via an email or to whoever needs it.
So the sample doesn't need any preparation or concentration methods or extraction of RNA, because it's not molecular. It's a culturing method.
Yes.
Technicians don't need any specialized training, but you'd usually need a microbiologist in there to know what's a coliform, to separate what's an E. coli from other coliforms. So how can the device, how can the detector distinguish between E. coli from other coliforms or from any other of the billion species floating in the ocean?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, the UV spectrum is vast, and so what they've been able to do with detect is provide different wavelengths that isolate for each one of the bugs. So for instance, it's a certain color or wavelength for E. coli, it would be another one for Enterococcus, it would be another one for total coliforms.
Okay, so it's sort of like a fingerprint of the bacteria itself.
Yeah, it's good way of it. Yeah.
So much of the interest into rapid water test methods have been down the molecular route, I would say. But other than the difference, yours is a cultured method. Other than those differences, what are the main differences the Tecta has to other tests on the market?
Yeah, so right away, we do not require a lab or a lab technician. It's the simplest test. You basically just take the sample, put in the tech to hit start. So because of that, there's little to no training needed to operate. Wherever there's power, you can take this as a portable unit. So all of a sudden now in these secluded communities or places where there needs to be a test, you can do it. This isn't a subjective analysis. No one's actually reading the sample. So it's an objective analysis. What's really cool, and for any people who are listening who are wastewater guys, no dilution is ever required because there's no visual interpretation. So you can take sludge or even solids, put it right into our into the 100 mil close and stick it in. We can accurately provide results in as quick as 2 hours, where every other method has a fixed incubation time, I think of at least 18 to 24 hours. And really, there's at the end of it, there's no requirement to write any report, as the unit automatically sends out a report within seconds with all the information.
I mean, this is the device for the field technician, the on-the-road field technician that can just work from anywhere. He doesn't need a laboratory as such. He doesn't need a BSL, a biosafety lab, to perform these tests. Everything's enclosed within the device itself.
You know, some people refer to this as a lab in a box. In some cases where there's regulations that need a test to be done in a lab, it's used in labs around the world. But it truly is a lab in the box. As long as you have power, you can use this unit.
And so, no need to write a report. The device does it for you. I can see why it's become so popular. So what? I know you've mentioned it already, but what level of training do the personnel at the Olympics have to undergo in order to operate this Tecta P PDS, and is it user friendly?
Yeah, so it truly is. We have a partner in Japan, ABC, and they're fully trained on how to set the unit up. Once it's set up, there's really no training required. It basically you take the sample up to the 100 mil level in the cartridge. You close the pre-sterilized lid of the cartridge with the lid. You stick it in the Tecta and you hit start, and that's it. The Tecta does everything else.
Okay, so you're saving a lot. If a company was to purchase this device, you're saving an awful lot of money on a lot of overheads that come with testing. But how much does the Tecta instrument cost, and how much are the consumables when you compare them with other options such as plate-based methods or rapid methods?
Yeah, so there's two parts to the product. There's the actual unit and there's the consumables. So we'll talk about the unit first. The Tecta B16, which has the 16 tests, roughly goes for about 21,000 US, and the Tecta B4 that has 4 simultaneous tests is around 17,000 US, and that fluctuates with markets and quantities, of course. That would be retail. We try to per test keep it consistent with our major competitors within the market, so that it's almost same per test, if just a little bit more. We think the benefits that and the return on investment that our customers can get, it's we usually charge no more than about $1 per test. Where the ROI really comes in is for those customers who are remote and they're shipping samples in and need to, you know, and because it's particularly with drinking water, you need to get, you know, the samples in same day, usually within hours. And that can be a FedEx cost of $20 per day per sample. And then, you know, there's usually a 10 to 15% loss rate. So you have to redo the test. Where the true value of this is understanding that about 7 to 8 times a year in a developed country, someone dies from E. coli contamination. And in every case, if the results came back faster, deaths never would have happened, and they could have put out their protocols, and there never would have been an issue. Mm. And that's the cost is enormous, both from a human life factor, but also in dollars. Is, you know, where we started our company out of a tragedy in a town called Waukun, Ontario, where several people died. This was a small community. The cost to the town was close to $500 million when all was said and done in emergency costs, services, emergency services, lawsuits, and all other peripheral costs. So this is where the true ROI comes in for our solution.
Yeah, let's touch on that for a moment. You're very obviously understandably very excited about the product and the success it's having, but the origins of its invention start with the tragedy in Waukun.
It does.
Can you just tell me more about that?
Yeah, it is a tragic story where we begin, and for those of who've been in the water game for a while, they might recall in a small Canadian town just outside of Toronto, a town called Waukun, a municipality, back in the year 2000, there was some tragic deaths that occurred due to E. coli. What happened there was, it was springtime in the year 2000, and in Canada, like every municipality there that has well water where they're pulling their drinking water for well water, there's regulations in place. You know, you can't be so close to farmland because of manure runoff. But this particular winter, there was a lot of snow and a quick thaw, and they took their sample on a Friday morning. There was no lab, so they shipped it into the nearest lab, which was in the next nearest major city. By the time it got to the lab, they had to prepare the sample. The sample goes in Friday evening. By Saturday morning, the hospitals are filling up. By Saturday night and Sunday morning, there are several people that died. And then they found out at that time that it was actually the water that was contaminated. So, you know, the government said, this is insane. We change our proprietary technology on phones almost yearly, but we haven't changed the way we test water. You know, I think the last real update was in the 80s. We're still using technology from World War II. And, you know, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that incidents that come from contamination from well water still happen in this day and age. And I know of a particular incident, a food producer working off the farm used well water not to just clean the vegetables, but it was actually cleaning the food packaging. And Cryptosporidium ended up infecting the people that consumed those spinach leaves. And that only happened a couple of weeks ago. So it's hard to believe that these things still happen.
It's amazing because there was that big spinach outbreak, I think 3 or 4 years ago out of California, where you know people around the world died because of the spinach outbreak. Exactly the same thing, and it was tragic not only because of people dying, but these farms had to be shut down and their whole crops were destroyed. Even if they weren't a part of the issue, the California government didn't take any chances and destroyed these farms. So the government of Canada said, "Hey, listen." Went out to the academia at the top universities and said, we need something better. We need something that's faster. We need something that can be done remote, that's an objective test. And it put a lot of these sort of criteria down that the detective ticks off. And there was a professor, Dr. Stephen Brown at Queen's University, one of our top universities in Canada, who came up and developed the Detective PDS solution. By the way, Dr. Stephen Brown is still our chief scientist today. And Dr. Stephen Brown created a company called Pathogen Detection Systems. Pretty well nailed everything the government asked for. So in 2009, Veolia Water acquired PDS under their innovation division called Endotech. It was during the Veolia days that the PDS brand was able to acquire US EP approval and was introduced to various major cities around the world. I was actually part of Veolia and Endotech. I was head of sales and marketing for the Endotech division, and it was really cool. We were going around picking up companies and augmenting to the Veolia solution. In 2014, 2015, Veolia took a different route, and they said, "Hey, we're not an incubation company. We want to concentrate on our core competencies," and we started to find partnerships and start selling off some of these divisions. Mm-hmm. And myself and Doug Wilton, who's our CEO, president and CEO, led a management team by a PDS brand and brought it all the way back to Canada under the name it is today, mm-hmm. Tech to PDS. And today we're fully privately owned and operated out of Canada and has evolved to be working now in over, I think we're in over 50 countries in various markets, including drinking water, wastewater, environmental, military, food and bev, recreational water. I think we're in oil and gas, and we do a bit of campuses as well.
So you really seen a great opportunity there, and you went with it.
Yes.
What could have happened to PDS if you didn't take it under your wing? Who knows? But it's become very successful. It even has US EPA approval. How did you get that?
Yes. Yeah, that was really good. It was key for us. So the US EPA approval is huge. To be honest, it was under as I think I mentioned, we got it in 2009 when we were with Veolia, and it's one of the toughest things to get, and it's one of the most recognized globally. So not every country recognizes US EPA approval, but if you have US EPA approval, it's sort of recognized that you've gone through, you know, that one of the toughest, most rigorous tests in the world, and it sure opened up a lot of doors for us. Basically, it's for drinking water, right? Absolutely. Yeah, so it's about a 2-year side-by-side comparison at blind labs to a reference method. And what we're sort of proud of is that not only did we meet the requirements, but most of the times we were exceeding some of the reference methods. We were detecting E. coli hours before the reference method did. And it's actually when our write-up came out in the EPA, it actually references that. Along with the EPA, what they do something that's really cool, and they do what's called an ETV study, which is an environmental technology verification study. Okay. Where they actually compare us to the commercial methods on the market, again, blindly. Mm-hmm. And they create a report. And we have this report both in long form and short form. And we're pretty proud that within almost every category, we came out number one. So it's a really cool study to have as a reference for us.
And it came out number one. All right, okay. How long ago was that?
We got the EPA. It would have been in 2015.
Okay, so that's fairly recent in terms of coming out number one. I would say you're still top of the table in that regard.
Yes.
So most international customers will accept the EPA approval as validation.
I'm not sure they'll accept it, but they'll certainly it'll open doors, and it'll sometimes fast track their verification.
Their verification. Okay.
And a lot of times, you know, they'll say, "Listen, if you have the EPA report, send it to us," and then they don't need to go through the whole rigors of the EPA. They'll accept that.
Okay. And so besides its validation for open water and drinking water, has Tech to PDS technology been adopted by food and beverage companies?
Yeah, so we do have AOAC approval globally for food and bev, and we actually do have a few customers. We work with Pepsi, and we work with Nestle, and we're actually been approved for Coca-Cola within their bottling plants.
Okay, that's a very good contract to have, I'd imagine.
Yes.
So I'm just looking over a list of international approvals the Tech to PDS have, and the list is long. So you have South Korea, Philippines, New Zealand, and this is all for municipal water testing. Ontario, your hometown. Is it Ontario, your
Yes.
hometown? Yeah.
Yeah. Ontario would be our province, the
Or
province of
province,
Ontario.
sorry, apologies. And
That's okay.
your third party validations that you have across the globe. There's one or two that strikes me as interesting here. University of Miami, the Hurricane Irma study. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was when the hurricane hit Florida. A lot of the labs were unable to perform a lot of the tests, and this was specifically for the environmental testing when the water came back up on shore and then went back out into the ocean, and they were specifically testing for Enterococcus. And we shipped down some tech tests so that they could continue doing the testing and ensure that everything was safe. And they provided a real nice study for us, validating how accurate we were.
Okay, and obviously clean water is vital in a time of humanitarian crisis.
And Paul, just on that again, it comes down to time to detect, right? The quicker you can get the information, the quicker things can, especially when there's a tragic event or a weather event that happens that needs an emergency. Again, it all has to do with timing.
And there's another one there, the Commonwealth Games. This is quite similar to what's coming up in the Olympics, the Gold Coast Australia study. Do you mind talking
Yes.
about that?
Yeah, so that was we won the Commonwealth Games, and it's really what catapulted us into winning the Olympics. From that, ITU, the International Triathlon Union, actually said, "Hey, we would like a tech to now at every sanctioned event that we do around the world, to make sure that the athletes are safe." So it's and they did a study again on the benefits of using a tech to within the with, at the Commonwealth Games. So it's really helped us with the winning the Olympics.
And there's good and bad things I can see about this fast test is that I know in my hometown that they swim the Liffey every year, and the Liffey, I mean, you wouldn't fish. There's no fish in the Liffey because it's got running through a very urbanized pop city, but the people still swim the Liffey every year. And if you're a journalist, I remember reporting on it before. The athletes don't want to hear about microbiological testing because if you even test that water, that event that's been running for 100 years probably won't happen again. So,
Sadly, sometimes sadly, information can work against you. We never tell anyone what to do with the information. So one of the things that we do is every single city, municipality, and every commercial application will have their own protocols. We do not dare profess to know what they should do if an incident happens. All we do is provide them with the information. This is the level of contamination, if there is any, and here's the quant.
Okay, and this information that you're supplying to people, for example, this test, this automated test, is particularly suitable for remote areas where you'd normally need to
Yes.
send off samples through FedEx or whatever, and that'll take days. So, what can you give me some examples of these remote areas that have adopted the rapid test method?
Yeah, sure. So I think the two that come to mind that we're particularly we've done some work with is the First Nations or Indigenous communities within Canada, and I'll talk a little bit about Africa as well. But within the First Nations, some of the remote communities, there's a they to your point, they it was taking sometimes days to send a sample, sometimes via prop plane, from the community to the nearest city. Sometimes in the winter, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Canadian weather, but in the summer it gets very, very hot, and in the winter it gets very, very cold. So they were losing somewhere between 25 and 30% of their samples from either freezing in the fuselage, and then they'd have to redo the test and send it again. So that just adds on days and costs. So we've managed to now have, in conjunction with the Canadian government, have 90 units in remote communities, and that's growing. And it's really cool. So, it's so easy to use. In one of these communities, we went up there, and this little old lady who makes the coffee in the morning at the community center also takes the test. She just scoops up the water and sticks in the tecta, and of course, all the results go to the emails and automatically with the results and the report to whoever needs it, wherever they are. And so that's the First Nations sort of success story, I guess you could say. In Africa, we're doing some really cool things with another Canadian company that's in development. And this company is basically taking a wastewater and drinking water plant and condensing it into the size of a portable container, almost like a shipping container.
Okay.
And so in some of these countries and remote communities throughout Africa, you know, getting water not only is hard, sometimes it can be. It could be deadly. I mean, you're going for a couple of hours with buckets on your head to a water source that could have deadly predators there, and you're pulling it back up, and you know it's an awful situation. So these pods or these containers are going to be dropped into these communities where now all you need to do is go to it, which is like a 2-minute walk. You know, pull a lever and you've got fresh water. The issue has always been, how do you make sure that water though is safe? And because of the same issue as with the First Nation communities and any remote community, if there's no lab nearby, and in some of these countries, there's no lab in the country, sometimes there's not even any roads to drive a sample, how do you test it? And so it's now with the Tecto, you know, if you've got power, you can easily now test real time the water as it's coming out each day. And it enables these communities to not only have water, but it's really the start of creating a community. Once you, if you think about water, it's really the beginning to sustain everything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now schools can start to be built, you know, a true sense of community can start to happen in these areas, as opposed to
irrigation.
Worrying about where you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And also disease prevention.
Exactly.
Can I just ask you there, you're currently looking for regional distributors, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we are always looking for distributors. We are, as I said, we're currently in around 50 countries, and we think our distribution model is really cool. It's we try to give exclusivity. There's not, you know, our competitors are traditional methods. So, and it's a, you know, for distributors, it's kind of a nice little business model. It's a reoccurring revenue model. And you know, you've got some really good references with the Olympics to get started.
For sure, that's an easy sale. Great, Tim, thanks very much for joining us today. Your test definitely sounds like a winner, and I'm sure the name Tecta will become a common term worldwide.
Hey Paul, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure, and again, appreciate the time.
Okay, and thank you our listeners for joining us today. Until next time.